Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
The disappointment was deep. It will likely take all offseason to recover from a loss from the Oilers. And welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I'm the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you with us. And yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? And I apologize for that. Lots going on. Right after the Flames-Oilers series, I was going to let it settle for a couple days because I wasn't in the best of moods. And going to come back and fire a show off that Wednesday. And I got sick, and it's literally put me down for the count until I started feeling better this week. Middle of this week started feeling better, and have been able to resume life activities, I guess. I wanted to sleep all the time and just no energy and just felt like garbage. And that's a crappy way to start a summer. And it kind of added more to the crap of having to lose to the Oilers, too. So, all in all, glad that's behind me, too, as it wasn't a lot of fun. And I apologize. I delayed the show way longer than I should have, and that's on me. I apologize. I've tried to keep – I think this is our 35th show of the season, and I've tried to keep it on a weekly basis – each and every week, and I do my best. You know, a lot of hockey things, regular work things, family. I have a wife and three great kids that keep me going. And when they get out of school, boy, it changes the whole mechanism around the way things are at the house here. So, all that being said, I was sick, and I wasn't sick just because the Flames lost, but I was too. But during that time when we didn't have the show here, it really gave me time to think and kind of figure out really what happened this season and the good and the bad, and a little bit of the worries for next year started to creep in a little bit too. I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be a really, really interesting off season. And today we're not gonna dive into the are we gonna sign Johnny Gaudreau talk, and are we gonna, what's gonna happen with Tkachuk, and how the hell are we gonna get Mangiapane fit in, and what happens to Shillington, and is Zadorov gone, and geez, is there a way we could figure out Gabranson? Those are all things we're gonna talk about, and that we got all kinds of episodes this summer. No, I shouldn't say all kinds. A few episodes this summer where we're gonna dive in and really try to pinpoint and figure out just what we would do, and kind of watch and maneuver as Brad Treliving does the real work. So that'll be a lot of fun. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as I thought about this off season, and I thought, you know, do we consider this a success this year? And it's hard not to, but yet again, on the flip side of that, it is hard to. You know, we've talked about this core, and I've ripped on this core, and tried to push players out of this core and everything. But, you know, I take a look here at the stats, and numbers don't lie. And I look at this core, and we've been watching them for a lot of years, and you look at this playoff success. You know, we out 4 straight to Anaheim. Led 1-0 to Colorado, 4 straight. In dominating, ass-kicking, holy shit, that was bad fashion. Dallas led 2-1, lost 3 straight, boom, eliminated in the bubble. Edmonton led 1-0, boom, 4 straight, gone that quick. And it seems like this team, once once the road gets really tough. Oh, and I know what you're going to say. We got through the tough road in the Dallas series, and you're right, we did. And we didn't have a hell of a lot of faith we would, though, did we, Flames fans? But we made it through that, and I was proud of this team, and I think it's a step. I do. I really do think it's a step. I saw a little bit more want. Does that make sense? But this team doesn't find a way to battle through on a consistent basis. I don't know. Maybe that's not even a fair statement. I don't know. It bothers me, though, when you look at those things I just read off, that once we get up, we don't ever go up 2-0. Think about that. We go up 2-0 to Edmonton. I think we win that series. We go up and you put the dagger in. We're up 2-1 to Dallas a couple years ago. We can't put the dagger in. Lose. And then it just seems like it's a landslide. It just seems like it's a landslide. On today's episode, we're going to recap that Battle of Alberta, the playoff edition of the Battle of Alberta, quickly. And then controversy seems to follow these Flames. It really does. And I'm not sure why it does, but it does. And we saw it again with Coleman and the kick in. Then we'll talk about a wasted season and what lies and proves to be a really very interesting offseason. Roll through some Flames news, update the Western Conference playoff races, and we'll do a Facebook poll on the Flames AHL affiliate. And we'll put a wrap on and some parting thoughts on what was, you know, really a great season for the Flames, albeit an ending that none of us wanted. But all in all, a really good season for the Calgary Flames. Enjoy another episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans. Let's recap this Battle of Alberta. And it was a wild one, wasn't it? Was it what we expected? No. No, it wasn't, was it? How come it seems like the Battle of Alberta games in the regular season had a little bit more grit, fire, and guts? You know, how come in the postseason, we played a little bit more into Edmonton's hands than we made them play into our hands? 9-6, the only win for the Flames in the series was game one, and I don't think any of us walked out of that game thinking, oh, this is perfect. All I thought was, holy crap, how the hell did we win? How did we score 9 goals? Thank God Mike Smith sucks. And if we play like this in game 2, 3, 4, and 5, we're going to be done in 2, 3, 4, and 5, and we were. I know Connor McDavid is as good as it gets. And as the series went on, we got a hell of a lot better at shutting him down. We really did. We'll give him credit there. Game 2, we lose 5-3. Here's some sad stats. 1-for-5 on the power play. Game 3, lost 4-1 to the Oilers. We're 0-for-4 on the power play. Game 5, a 5-3 loss. 1-for-3 on the power play. Game 6, a 5-4 overtime loss. We're 0-for-2 on the power play. Penalty kill wasn't bad. Game 1, it was 4-for-4. 5-for-6 in game 2. 5-for-5 in game 3. A bad 2-for-4 probably cost us game 4. And then 0-for-1 in game 5 when it really mattered. And I don't know. You know, you look, let's go through it positionally. Forwards, I thought the trio of Mangiapane, Backlund, and Coleman really stood out, were noticeable in every game. I thought, honest to God, I thought Michael Backlund was the best Flames player of this series by a freaking mile. By a mile. He dominated game four and game five. Freaking dominated it. And everybody's all hard on Backlund all the time. But he produced when it mattered, didn't it? And some of our other guys like Matthew Tkachuk didn't, did he? Gaudreau and Toffoli. I don't know. Toffoli was a joke, I thought. Gaudreau had his moments. I'm not going to rip on Gaudreau too hard on this one. I thought Matthew Tkachuk was a disaster. I thought Dylan Dubé got better as the series went. Thought Lewis was fine. I thought Lindholm was fine. I wanted a little more of him down the stretch. But all in all, fine. Matthew Tkachuk was a ghost. An absolute ghost. That's really, really worrisome for me. Really worrisome. And we're going to be talking about that on some future shows here. A little sneak peek. I want to talk on one of our next episodes about, you know, $9-10 million, $10+ million players. Like a Connor McDavid. Who can steal the show, win games, throw teams on their back. Matthew Tkachuk do that when it's important? I don't know. Ponder that question. Defensively, I thought the Hanifin-Anderson duo struggled throughout the series. Shillington played with Stone and Tanev. Tanev, we know this injury is there. I thought Zadorov was played fairly well. Gabranson. You know, some people were hard on Gabranson. I'm not. I don't think Gabranson was, by far, I don't think he was the problem at all. I think he had some struggling moments, but I think our whole defense had some struggling moments. Probably our most disappointing thing, and I don't want to pin this series on him because we didn't get the offensive production. I don't know. Maybe we did get that. We didn't help him out a hell of a lot. But Jacob Markstrom was not Jacob Markstrom. And you're not going to win in round two, much less round one, without your goalie out dueling the other goalie. And as much as it makes me want to puke in my mouth, Mike Smith out-dueled Jacob Markstrom. Can't freaking believe I'm saying that. Look at these numbers. In the Oilers series, his save percentage was .852. In the Dallas series, it was .943. In high-danger save situations, Jacob Markstrom's save percentage was .705. In the previous series, it was .915. Now, a hell of a lot more goes into the series than just the goaltending. But Jacob Markstrom did not help this situation at all. And you're not going to win a series when the number totals are goals allowed 6-5-4-5-5. Ugly, ugly, ugly. When your opponent's production was 17 points for Dreisaitl, 2 goals, 5 assists. McDavid, 3 goals, 9 assists. And this is the Oilers versus the Flames for the year. Hyman, 6 goals, 2 assists. Kane, 5 goals, 1 assist. Nugent Hopkins, 2 goals, 4 assists. five games in the series, you allow, let me count it up here, 6, 11, 15, 25. Yeah, and that's why the Flames are golfing. Controversy follows this damn Flames team, doesn't it? In 04, we had the, was it in? I still think that puck was in. But you know what? Didn't freak out about, not freaking out about it. I just think that stuff happens in hockey, right? But I still think it was in. It's fun. Go back and watch that game. Hobby Bowling was good. Oof. Wow. Let's talk a little bit about this, and then we're going to roll on. But the Flames take a late lead in Game 5 as Blake Coleman scores. And when I first watched it, I didn't even consider a kick in, to be honest with you. I really didn't. And maybe that's me being stupid. I don't know. But I didn't even think about that. And then I got a text and got a phone call, and they're like, they're going to look at this. And I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? I watched it over and over and over, and I still felt pretty good about it. I did. It stayed on the ice the whole time. The whole time. Felt really good about it. And then boom. What a joke. The league said the video review determined Coleman kicked the puck into the net, and according to rule 49.2, a goal cannot be scored by an attacking player who uses a distinct kicking motion to propel the puck into the net with his skater foot. Yeah, one of the most controversial calls of the year to eliminate a team. Huh, yeah, and it happens to the Flames. Brandon Morrison had the tweet of the night. I thought it said, you cannot kick a puck with your skate blade on the ice while stopping. Virtually impossible, especially at that speed. Terrible call, NHL. 100% disagree. I couldn't agree more. And here's what it boils down to. If the league's going to have a rule that you have to determine if he intended or was kicking, and whether it's a redirect or... I just don't know how you get a kick if your skate doesn't come off the ice. I don't understand how you kick something. I'd love to see a field goal kicker in football kick a field goal and not raise his foot off the ground. That's freaking impossible. The soccer player. How does he kick the ball into the net without removing his foot off the ground? That's how stupid this is. That's how silly this is. And you know what? If you're going to have a rule that's this crappy in the league, how about you just say, puck has to go off a stick into the net. That's it. Can hit skates, because, you know, this is how absurd it is. Blake Coleman could have headbutted that into the net, and it would have counted. But it hits off his skate and goes in a non-kicking motion. Nope. It's a kick in, because he was moving forward. And you know what the NHL really needs to do? They need to go back and look at the videos from earlier this year. And I can refresh their memory. Nate Thompson's goal for the Winnipeg Jets a couple years ago in the playoffs, yeah. Holy cow. Watch that video. And tell me, we haven't changed the rule since that game. It's bad. It's a bad look for the league. Bad look. Now, no, this didn't cost the Flame the series. But they win game five, and it's one game at a time, right? Anything can happen when Mike Smith's in net, right? Flames didn't deserve to win this series. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it really, really sucks. It makes it a hell of a lot more difficult to deal with as a Flames fan, and I'm sure a Flames player and a Flames management person. And it's got to be in a play that's that controversial, which I don't even know. I didn't even think it was that controversial. I didn't. I didn't. I thought when I saw his skate not leave the ice, I'm like, oh, that's a good goal. Tell me how you kick the puck without raising your foot. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to kick a football without raising my foot. I don't know how to kick a soccer ball without raising my foot. But evidently the NHL this year, they better have a training session on how to kick without raising your foot. So was this a wasted season, Flames fans? I don't know. I really thought this year, I'm like looking at contract situations and whose contract needs to be renewed, what price tag it's going to cost to do that, the salary cap, how the hell are we going to get this under the salary cap? And then I look at the roster and I'm like, holy cow. Career season, career season, career season, career season, career season. It goes on and on, on and on. Teams win cups when players all excel at the same time. And I hate to say it, Flames fans, this is a huge, huge, and this isn't going to make your summer go any better. Because it's got a pit in my stomach, and I've had since they skated off the ice. Is that we had so much going for this team this year that, oh my God, was this a wasted opportunity. And Brad Treliving can say this team has taken big steps. And you know what? He's right. He is totally right. But unfortunately, dollars and cents isn't going to allow this whole team to be back next year. Maybe that'll be a blessing if we lose a couple guys, as long as it's the right guys. And maybe we'll have some young talent come up from Stockton that will impress the hell out of us and fill those roles at a great price tag to boot. And yeah, this season felt different. There was a lot of positives to take away. And yeah, we won a series and Johnny Gaudreau, our star player, stepped up and scored the game winner. That's a huge step. It's a huge step. And all of you guys that listen to me on a weekly basis know that I'm rough on Johnny Gaudreau. And he's got these out of the doghouse with me, man. He proved to me, for the most part, that he can produce in the playoffs and not run around scared. And now I'm ready to re-sign him. Now, at what price tag, I'm not... I'm still a little back and forth on that, and we'll get to that as the summer progresses. Because I know you guys probably feel the same as me, that I don't think this signing's happening right away. It's going to take some time, I think. I don't know. Some questions that I saw in social media that got me thinking a little bit about this team. Was Markstrom bad? 24 goals against in 5 games is bad, but Smith wasn't that good either. 14 goals in 5 games, both goalies were not good. Yeah, I agree. But you can't have a Vezina quality goalie allow 24 goals against anybody in 5 games and expect to win. Markstrom did not help us in that series. He did not do what we paid him to do. And that doesn't mean I don't like Jacob Markstrom anymore, and that doesn't take away from the extremely good season that he had. It just means he had a tough series at a freaking horrendous time to have a tough series. And we can hope that we can learn from that. A worrisome thing for me is that we played against a team in the Battle of Alberta and we weren't able to hold our system. That probably worries me more. I don't know. This team played this system so well and it hurt having Tanev not at 100%. And I think a bigger factor, well, besides the goaltending, was that I think when you don't have your key guys like Matthew Tkachuk going, it's tough to get over that hump, especially when you're playing against top-notch competition like Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And they have all kinds of guys on their teams that stepped up. Who saw Hyman doing what he did? All of a sudden, Evander Kane turned into a top five NHL player during this playoffs. Leon Draisaitl on one leg was better than most of our guys on two legs. God, for once, the Edmonton Oilers players stepped up. They took the step that we should have took. Injuries, there was tons of them. Yeah, we had a lot of injuries. Chris Tanev, labrum injury, dislocated shoulder. He's had surgery now. It's a big injury. Zadorov played with crack ribs. Lucic had an AC joint sprain. Oliver Shillington had a shoulder injury, which we knew about. Andrew Mangiapane supposedly had a wrist injury. Matthew Tkachuk, hand injury. I don't know about that one. He had a hand injury and then scored a hat trick the next game. And then it slowed him down the next few games. I don't know about that one. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be overly critical of Matthew Tkachuk, but man, it seems like when that guy's on, he is freaking on. And when it seems like he disappears, he disappears. Got to get a little bit more consistency from a guy that wants $9+ million, right? It's a fair assessment, I think, right? We're playing in the playoffs with injuries like every single other team played in the playoffs with injuries. So I don't think we should get too wrapped up about that. One other thing I want to say about the Battle of Alberta is this. We all wanted it really bad. And I did too. Although I was hoping Edmonton would lose round one to LA because I'd rather play LA. Not because I think they're easier, but because of what goes along with it. The Battle of Alberta was something that we talked about this on previous shows. Like, we all wanted it because of the excitement and, oh my God, this is going to be so freaking great. And it was. But it's only great when you win, right? When you lose, it sucks a little extra hard, doesn't it? And I think that's what I've been feeling these last few weeks, is it sucks harder when it's the Edmonton Oilers sent you to the golf course. Especially when we didn't get performances that we expected. And now it really slaps us in the faces. Now what happens? So many positives gained this season. And Sutter pointed it out. You know, this team has returned to the league respect factor. So many positives, right? But now what? Gaudreau's a UFA. Tkachuk's an RFA. Wants long term. Wants big, big bucks. Got cap issues. I'm not going to be able to bring back a lot of guys. Depth defensemen, Gabranson, Zadorov, pretty much are out the door. Not to mention, how the hell are we going to get RFA, Mangiapane, and oh yeah, don't forget about Shillington either. The guy that nobody expected that would break out this year. He did. Now he needs to get paid. Extreme roster changes lie ahead for this team, and I have no idea how Brad Treliving is going to get this cap to work out. I'm going to be sitting down in the next few weeks going through what I would do and trying to piece it all together, and we're going to talk about that on the show. Who's going to be gone? This will be an offseason with extreme changes. And there might be more of this core missing when this one's all said and done. All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. Daryl Sutter, yeah, he did win the Jack Adams Award. 353 points, 54 first-place votes, 22 second-place votes, 17 third. Andrew Burnett in second with Florida with 249 votes, so over 100 points more for Daryl Sutter. This one was one award that a Flame was part of that I thought was going to be a shoe-in, and Daryl Sutter handled it in Daryl Sutter form. He could have cared less. He wants one thing. That's the Stanley Cup. And you know what, Flames fans? I think that's the only thing I care about anymore now, too. And it's been that way for a couple years, and that's why I've been frustrated for a couple years on build a cup-ready team. And I think we took a lot of steps towards that. Now let's just see how the hell we survive this offseason, right? And the Lady Bing Award, four Flames nominated. Let me roll through it here real quick. Shillington, Yarncrook, Gaudreau, and who the heck was the other one? I don't remember the other one. I probably should have had that in my notes, right? Yeah. Selke Award, that did not go Lindholm's way. That should have went Lindholm's way. But it's the Patrice Bergeron Award. Fourth straight year the fourth time a Flames forward has received, for the fourth year, Calgary Flames forward received 21 of 95 first place votes in the award. Bergeron takes it home. And he's good. He's really good, but, I get sick of it. I hate this award. This award goes to him every time, no matter what. Jerseys. There's talk that there's going to be new jerseys next year. It's all over Twitter. Mike Gould reported that there'll be a new alternate Flames jersey coming for next year. There'll be a new reverse retro jersey coming. And, of course, we're going to get a new American Hockey League jersey to get to. So all kinds of new jerseys to save your money for this summer. They just better not touch the red and the white regular jerseys that I love. We better not touch those. Ryan Francis is no longer a Calgary Flames prospect. The deadline has come and gone. The 20-year-old who's playing for the St. John Sea Dogs of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League did not re-sign, and so he'll be moving on. So I don't know the details on why. I haven't heard anything there. Interesting though, a little bit surprising. Let's talk about the Stockton Heat. There was some assignments right as the Flames left the playoffs. Adam Warner, Yusuf Alamaki, Connor Mackey, and Adam Rzyzka were sent to Stockton for a playoff run. A playoff run that has gotten really, really interesting as the Stockton Heat have advanced all the way to the finals. And we need to check this out, Flames fans. You need to watch these games. I did last night. It was great. They're playing the Chicago Wolves right now. The series is 3-2. We're heading to a game 6. Game 5 last night. Unbelievable. Godden scores late to tie it up. Heat win it in overtime. And it's been one game at a time as they got down 5-4 game 1. Game 2 was a 3-2 loss. Game 3 was a 3-0 loss. 3-0. On the elimination, they win in overtime on Friday night, 4-3. They win in overtime Saturday night, 3-2. Holy watch this team. Two straight overtime wins. They're right back in the series going to try to win an AHL championship, Calder Cup. That'll be interesting. The Stockton Heat have officially announced, though, that they will be moving to Calgary. The Flames are moving their AHL affiliate to the same city as the home club to make it a lot more accessible and easier for players. A lot of teams are doing this now. Makes a lot of sense. I hate to see, for the fans of Stockton, them losing this team, but shoot. Stockton's averaged 1,713 fans this year. Oof, that's not good. And they're just getting over a little over 2,000 in a playoff run that's been amazing. And I know, yeah, they're losing their team, so yeah, a lot of people aren't going to go and support them. But oh, that's frustrating because this is a good hockey team and a team that that everybody should be paying attention to, and it'll be neat having them in Calgary, right here with the home club. So that'll be a lot of fun next year. In the division, let's talk about the division of the Pacific. There was one team that remained in the division, and that was the Edmonton Oilers. We don't really want to talk about this, but we have to, as they went on after they beat the Calgary Flames to the Western Conference Finals against the number one seed out of the Central Division, Colorado Avalanche. And here's how it went, is it was short order. As Daryl Sutter said, a waste of 8 days. It was just that for the Edmonton Oilers. Colorado wins game one, 8-6, and a game that mirrored that Calgary Flames 9-6 win in game one, as it was a complete gong show. Game two, Colorado wins 4-0. By the way, Smith got chased in game one. It's always fun to talk about that, isn't it fun? Yeah. Game two, Colorado 4-0. Game three, Colorado 4-2. And in complete true fitting fashion, game four goes to the Colorado Avalanche in overtime. Anya. A controversial goal. Take that one, Edmonton fans. Take that one. All right. Listener question. Probably our last listener question of the summer episodes. And threw it out on Flames Hub, a Facebook group I'm part of and I am proud to be part of and enjoy being part of because they talk Flames hockey every single day. And I was thinking about this move to the Stockton Heat to Calgary. And does that, what do we do with a name? You know, is it the Calgary Heat? That sounds like the easy choice, but is it that, or do we go a little off the record? So I threw out some examples and I'll break down what the fans voted for on this Facebook poll. I put down the Calgary Heat, which is probably what it's going to be. I put down the Calgary Mustangs, Calgary Wranglers, Calgary Tigers, Calgary Cowboys, and the Alberta Heat. So what do the fans want? I got a total of 259 responses, which is really, really good. 79% of them said, 206 people said the Calgary Heat, which is, I would bet about anything, that's what it's going to be. But we'll see. But Calgary Heat wins that. Second place, 23 votes, 9% Calgary Wranglers, a long way back. 8%, 21 votes, Calgary Cowboys. 2%, 5 votes, Calgary Wranglers, 1%, 2 votes, Calgary Tigers, and 1%, 2 votes, Alberta Heat. Now, I threw the Alberta Heat in for something a little different. So it's Calgary Flames. Everything's Calgary, Calgary, Calgary. And yeah, we're proud of Calgary, and we love the city of Calgary. But I thought Alberta Heat sounded different, and I thought it sounded good. I don't know. Just one of the things I threw out there. Another one of the people voting had a write-in vote that I thought was pretty interesting, too. He put Calgary Fire. Not bad. I don't mind that either. Go watch the Fire play tonight. I don't know. Heat's good, though, too. It all goes well with the Flames, right? It'll be interesting. I'm guessing they'll go Calgary Heat, but we'll see what happens.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
And we're to the game preview part of the show, and there is nothing to preview. Nothing. You know, we're going to preview, though, the NHL draft, which will take place July 8th and 9th in Montreal in person. Thank God we can watch it again and enjoy it and only this time, there's not going to be a lot to enjoy for the Flames because we only have 3 picks in this year's draft. A second rounder, 59th overall, a fifth rounder, 155th overall, and a seventh rounder, 219th overall. Why, you say? Well, don't forget we traded a bunch of them away. Let's talk about where they went. Our first round pick, a 26th overall, was traded to Montreal for the Tyler Toffoli. Tyler Toffoli is under contract for 2 more seasons at a $4.25 million cap. Not too shabby there. Our round 2 pick, the 61st overall, which was acquired from Florida, was traded to Seattle. Calgary gave up Sam Bennett to get that at last year's deadline, and then Calgary traded it to Seattle this year as part of a package to get Cale Yarncrook at this year's deadline. Our third pick, the 90th overall, was acquired from Toronto and then traded to Chicago. That was a pick that we got for David Riddick last summer, and then we traded it to get then restricted free agent Nikita Zadorov last summer. Our other third round pick, the 91st overall, was traded to the Boston Bruins last year for Daniel Vladar last summer, which proved to be a really good trade. Our fourth round pick, the 123rd overall, was traded to Seattle. That was traded with the Tyler Pitlick Yarncroc situation this last year. Our sixth round pick, the 187th overall, was traded to Florida, in which Florida then shuffled it to Buffalo. That pick was part of the Sam Bennett last year's trade, and Florida subsequently traded it this year at the deadline to acquire Robert Hägg. The draft goes the eighth and the ninth, I believe. Let me get my calendars. I've got conflicting reports there. July 8th and 9th this year in Montreal, and we're still going to be there covering it, and we're going to cover it here on Flames Unfiltered, but just not a lot to talk about this year with only three selections coming up, unfortunately. Even though, you know, we had to do that, didn't we, guys? We had to make those moves to go for it. We wouldn't have made the boobs bringing Yarncroc and all those and the Toffolis and everything. This team would have been like, what's going on? We're going to make a cup run and we're not doing anything. Treliving's not doing anything. What is stupid? What's he doing? And now we're out of the playoffs in the second round and everybody wants those picks back. Well, that's not how it works, Flames fans. Unfortunately, we gave it our all, right? Well, we're at the offseason marker, sadly. Hit the brakes a little bit, rest, spend some time with family. Got some episodes coming up this summer, June 29th. We're going to do that draft preview, an off-season plan, and guests will be joining the show. July 13th, we're going to do a draft review, NHL free agency, build our roster for next season. And then two more episodes over the summer, July 27th, August 24th. That'll wrap up the off-season episodes. We got some great big news for Flames Unfiltered coming up into season four of the show, which will kick off in September. Some big news there, and we'll break that to you as we get a little bit closer to that. So how should we feel, guys? How should we feel as we go into this off season? Should we feel good? Should we feel like we wasted a season? It's kind of hard not to, isn't it? I don't know. Daryl Sutter said in his post game that get your chin up, get your chest out, walk out proud. They did a hell of a lot more than anybody thought they were going to do, to be quite honest. And he's right. We didn't think this was going to be our year. But it started to look like it about midpoint, didn't it? And you know what I keep telling myself is, how do you keep saying it, keep sanity when you know you had a chance to win the Stanley Cup? I try to put it back into the terms of, we do this for fun, right? We watch Flames hockey. We follow Flames hockey. We talk Flames hockey for fun. Did we have fun? We had a hell of a lot of fun. We had a lot of career years. We got the Battle of Alberta in the playoffs. We won a round. Our superstars scored us an overtime winning goal. It was a lot of good things this year. A lot. This team is a lot to be proud of. And it'll be really fun and exciting to see where it goes, where it takes us. Check out flamesunfiltered.com this summer as you need your Flames fix, your Flames news. Listen to previous episodes. Everything's on flamesunfiltered.com. Enjoy the summer. Take a step back from hockey. Watch the Stanley Cup Finals, which will be starting this week. Yeah. Oilers lost. That was nice, huh? Go Avalanche. No, I don't know. Do we want Avalanche to win? Do we not? I don't know. Something to decide, isn't it? Let's watch. Let's enjoy. Have a great summer, Flames fans. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter @FlameUnfiltered.
And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.